Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to drive remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining. Just as a reminder, before we get started, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership, or perhaps even bring a five levels workshop to your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. Also, while you're there, if you'd like to leave a comment or if you have a question for Perry and I that you'd like for us to answer in one of our podcasts, please feel free to list that there. Well, today's topic is titled, You Mean There's Another Level. Perry, talk to us.
I think it's more like, you mean there's another level?
Yeah, that's right. That's I didn't do a very good job of that. I'm sorry. Okay.
So this is interesting to me because I'm going to draw on your personal experience. Okay. Maybe this will be a little bit of an interview here.
Okay.
That you're watching now, right now, our listeners may or may not know that both of your kids are transitioning from high school to college, and they both have been tagged as elite athletes and have been recruited to play.
They take after their mom.
In their respective sports, a lot like their mom.
Yes.
I think this is a great message for leaders at every level, that how do you take yourself and others to the next level, and that you know there is a next level. I know you also played ball and at junior levels and in college and in pro levels, and you're now watching your son and daughter kind of have this similar journey. You were telling me about your son standing on the sidelines of his first SEC game and noticing that at the University of Georgia, go Dogs, that being a star in high school and being a highly sought-after recruit, that now he's being in the huddle with these guys that he kind of admired from a distance. And so where I want to go with the discussion is, like, what are the characteristics that allow someone to go to the next level? And while this probably is a level four, five levels of leadership, level four, developing others kind of a topic, it also has a lot to do with developing yourself. So I said a lot there, but kind of pick up the story.
So I'll kind of elaborate on a couple of things you said there before we dive into the content. And I think you've heard me say before that I love sports, and I think the tie between sports and leadership is, for me, very natural. There's a lot of things you can learn from it, and we've always encouraged that in our kids to participate at that level or some type of group community activity where other people are involved. And so I'll go back to your comment earlier. My son is at his first year at the University of Georgia. And when you talk about, you know, there's another level, sometimes as leaders we become complacent or you think, hey, man, I got this thing down. Yeah. And so my son was a pretty dominant high school athlete. And so he got very comfortable on the field. It basically could do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it at times, for most of the part. And so we were having a conversation, and so he was the Georgia-Notre Dame game, and he was standing on the sideline. And it was the first time it was really kind of that Power Five school live competition. It was go time. He had already been introduced in practice to Georgia's defense, which that's a whole nother story podcast in itself. But I asked him after the game. The first thing I said was, man, like, what'd you think? What about the speed of the game? Like, when you were standing on the sideline and it was real time, like, you know, what was going through your mind? And literally, this is what he said. He said he looked at another freshman and they both said, well, we're not in high school anymore. Mm-hmm. And he began to talk about the process of what it's going to take for him to get to that next level and to be able to play at that speed, have that strength, and that timing. And so it's very interesting to me because once you step out of your comfort zone as a leader and you get into a new environment, we're going to talk about even just some of John's influence in my life around this a little bit later in the podcast, you begin to understand you're not the head of the class anymore, and nor should you be. My daughter, same way, right? She is beginning to get exposed to collegiate level volleyball, and she's understanding that, hey, I am coming right back down here at the bottom, and I'm going to have to do some things a little bit differently. I desire to be to play at the next level, but what does that look like? And so I think this will be fun for me. Appreciate you bringing it up, and we'll be able to kind of talk about how some of these relate to some leadership.
Well, it's a great topic, I think, because the For an elite level athlete, requires the same skills and disciplines for each of us need to be developing to go to whatever where our gifting is, how to go to the next level. So as I was thinking about it, I wrote down five. I like, you know, keeping it short, but five things I think elite performers do to really get to that next level, and I love your feedback on those. The first Perfect. One I said was, and you probably have more than five, but yeah. number one was they set a goal of where they actually want to be.
Yeah. I think one of the things I thought about as I was looking through this and is relevant to even my leadership, I think oftentimes as leaders, we aspire to be a CEO. We aspire to be the next C-suite, right? And so we start looking out a little bit too far. Mm. And so here's what I would tell you. I don't think that my son, well, maybe every little boy has a dream of playing in the NFL. I don't think that was his focus. His focus was, what do I need to do to get to the next level, the next step? Mm-hmm. The same thing with my daughter, right? She's like, I know that I want to play college volleyball. And so it's building upon one another. And my encouragement to leaders is lead really, really effectively where you are and what the potential next step would be, not the potential 10 steps from there. So you're leading a sales team right now, and maybe in the hierarchy of your organization, there's three or four levels of leadership before you get to the C-suite of vice president of sales. My encouragement to you is to get really focused on what you need to do really, really well with your team and how you're leading your team and what it would take to get to that next level of leadership in your organization, not all the way mm-hmm. jumping up to the C-suite. Whatever that next level is, like that was my kid's focus was, I know that I want to play college athletics, period. Mm-hmm. And then that's what the goal was. Now let's start working on what that goal is, which we'll talk about in some of your other points here.
Right, so I love that, and you think about going all the way to the top. You're not going to do the things you need to get to the next level to be successful there. You can't.
You're
going to
miss
that.
Them, yeah.
And it gets you in a big hurry. I noticed when I first came, I was a sales guy for IBM, and then I wanted to be, you know, the CEO of IBM. No, I wanted to be a sales manager. How do I get to do that? Then I can make my plan. Yeah. But if I started saying, well, forget all this other stuff in between, I'm going to the top. That doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So number two, after you have a goal, I think most of these elite performers build a plan, develop a plan to navigate how to get to that goal. So have a kind of a step-by-step to do that.
Yeah, I think there are some positive things that will come out of your plan. And I think there are some negative things that you just need to accept. And so when we're relating this to kind of my kids and playing Division I sports, here are some things that I wrote down. And obviously there are mental sides of this. There are the physical attribute sides of this, the spiritual side of it, different sides that make up this whole. But the first thing I wrote down was, as leaders, and I saw in my kids, is that you have to be willing to do what others don't or won't do. And I saw this lived out. You know, both my wife and I never pushed our kids into sports or to do extra work. If they wanted it, they desired it, it would show up. They would ask for it. We would help supplement that, whatever that looked like. We'd be Uber if we needed to, or, you know, we'd pay for private lessons or whatever. But they had to be willing and to initiate to do what others wouldn't do. And so, leaders, what are some of the things that maybe you sit in your little department, your little team, your organization, and you say, yeah, no, that's not my job. I'm not going to add value here. That's not the right answer. We talk about the John Maxwell Company, how we're a relatively flat organization, and all of our hands are kind of all hands on deck when a certain mm-hmm. someone needs this or someone needs that. And so we're willing to kind of do things that don't necessarily directly relate to my P&L or my responsibility in order for the organization. So what are you willing to do? What's the extra work? The negative side of this is I saw them miss out on a lot of things that other kids participated in. Now, that was their choice, and so they made that decision. But as leaders, you need to understand you're going to pay a price. Like, there's going to be a little bit of sacrifice of some things that maybe some of your peers are doing that you may have a little bit of, oh, man, I wish I was doing that, or, man, I missed out on that. But you have to make that decision because there is a price to leadership, and mm-hmm. I think that you're going to miss out, and it's going to take an investment of your time And when I think about this in regards to leadership, here's where I go, is that it's going to take an investment of your time to grow yourself, right? A lot of times that we have I think Carol Dweck says, you know, a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. John talks a lot about what does this look like around goals versus growth. And I think that a lot of times you're going to need to be developing and investing in yourself. That's going to take time away from maybe some social activities, maybe happy hour. I don't know what it might be.
Right.
But as a leader, you need to understand that you're going to miss out on some things. And the main focus is you need to be investing in yourself for future growth as a leader. So those, when you talk about plan, I kind of look back some of those things. Those were some of the things that came to mind.
I think so. If you have a goal and you have a plan to get there, then the priorities kind of start to line up.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to do that. Well, number three after goal and plan is that, and I think this is often overlooked or maybe assumed, is that these elite performers believe in themselves and that they have what it takes. I wonder about walking into a huddle that first day in the new environment with people you've admired or idolized over the years, and what keeps intimidation out of that mindset?
Well, I think there's a lot of humility that comes along with that. And I joke around and say that my son is being humbled this year. And so you got to have kind of the right mindset of going into that. But at the core of every athlete that I've known, and even successful leaders, there's a belief in themselves that it's going to happen over time. May not be relevant right then. You may not be able to handle it right then, but they know if they stick with it long enough that it's a process. And this is, I mentioned John's impact on my life, and this is something that I've just communicated to even my team here, even my family as my kids were growing up. And the first couple of things that came to mind was the law of process. You know, John and the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership wrote about the law of the process. And the only reason I remember it is because he really talks about it like a microwave and a crock pot. And you know me, anything about a crock pot, I'm there. But he talks about, hey, leadership is developed daily, not in a day.
That's right.
And so when you walk onto that field, when you walk into that meeting, when you have been given that promotion, you're not going to be good that first day. You're not going to be good the 10th day. And it's going to kind of develop over time. And the other thing I share a lot with my kids is really – you are the average of those closest to you, whether it's from a leadership competence standpoint, whether it's an athletic, whatever it is. And John always says, man, listen, if you are the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room.
Right.
And so I can assure you that when this year my son stepped in those huddles, you know, and looked around, it's like, how did I even get here? Maybe even next year, maybe the year after, he is not going to be the head of his class. And so he's in the right environment, and I think that it just brings, like, you just become part of that. He said to me the other day on the phone, he said, Dad, for the first time, now we're almost done with the first season, because for the first time in practice, I felt like the game slowed down. I felt like I got it. I go, okay. Man, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. The game didn't slow down.
Right. He sped up.
You are becoming part of that. And so it's the same thing. Put yourself in environments to where you're being challenged, to where you're being stretched. My final thought here is really around effort and attitude. We always told our kids growing up is that you don't need to be the best in the room, the best in the class, the best leader, whatever it is. But what we do care is that you're driving effort and that you're driving your attitude. What you can control is more important to us. And I think if you go in with the right mindset in a leadership situation where you don't feel qualified for it, somebody else believed in you more than you believe in yourself. We talk a lot about that. You need to make sure that you're giving it everything you got and that you have the right attitude. And I promise over time the competency will show up.
Right. Number four, I've noticed these elite performers, they get up when they get knocked down, which means they learn from the good things, they learn from the disappointing things. I think today's social media crazy environment is a lot of comparison. You're comparing yourself to a lot of people. We talk a little bit about, you see my front stage act. I've heard John say that. People come up all the time and say, I want to speak at conferences just like you do.
Yeah.
He said, well, you didn't see, are you willing to do what I did to be able to do
that's
that?
Right. That's
and,
right.
So there's a lot of struggle in that comparison act. I wonder how you see that.
Well, I think the thing with I've seen in athletes and even some leaders is that they continue to stay focused on the course. Like they know, back to your point about the plan, they know what the goal was in the plan. Like, now here's my focus, here's my lens. They almost have the ability to put blinders on and understand that it's a process. The other thing I would say is that we talked about the fact that, you know, there's going to be some positives and some negatives. Same thing is you're in it, you're going to make some leadership mistakes, and you're going to have some great leadership moments. And so there's going to be the kind of the peaks and the valleys of your leadership, but just know that that is part of the process and that you just need to stay the course. I'll give you an example with my daughter. My daughter's goal was, I want to play college volleyball. And she's not really happy with her mom because she gets her height from her mom. My son happens to be pretty tall. I'm fairly tall. And my daughter is 5'7". And when you play volleyball, that's not necessarily the best eye candy to have in regards to a volleyball player. But her desire was, I want to play college volleyball. And so she developed a plan, extra work. She's part of some travel teams. She'd go to camps, whatever. Like, she was fully engaged in that process. But she continued to watch friends of hers receive scholarships, receive offers, and she just continued to stay focused. I want to play college volleyball. I want to play college volleyball. And so she stayed really, really focused on what she wanted to do, what she wanted to achieve, and it ended up paying off over time. It came a lot later than some of her friends, some of her other players, but due to her focus and not giving up on what her goal was and her plan, allowed her to eventually experience the opportunity where she got to choose between a couple of different colleges to play at the next level. So just stay focused on what you want to develop and what your plan is in regards to leadership.
Fantastic. And then number five, I noticed that these elite performers never have a mindset that they've arrived. There's always, they reset that goal. They reset that plan to keep it going.
For me, it's really, this is a mindset conversation. And I think that on a daily basis, you need to be consistent. You need to continue to invest in kind of who you are and the skills that you possess. This kind of goes back to even kind of what we talked about in regards to the first comment that we were talking about. Hey, how do you, as an elite performer, as a leader that's successfully leading, like, what is the mindset that you have? And understand this. John talks a lot about consistency compounds. And as an elite performer, whether you're leading a team or in this example today that we're talking about on the sports field, what I have seen pay off for leaders and even my children is that consistently over time, they did the small things. I say to them, little things lead to big things, both positively and negatively. Mm. And so I think that for them and where they were at, they were in the mindset of every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the little things right in order to hopefully accomplish my goal, which was the next step of leadership for them, or the next step is to play at the next level.
Fantastic. Well, let me wrap things up and thank you for sharing from your personal life. And I think it's a lesson that all leaders, I know I wish I'd have had it when I was younger. I set goals, pretty good about setting goals, but I didn't, when I got there, I didn't go to the next thing.
And what was the next one?
I kind of plateaued and didn't have a plan. So I look back on that as something I really wish I wasn't an elite performer at that stage. And so just to summarize, we talked about five things, about having a goal, making a plan, believing in yourself, even when others may tell you can't. I love the story about your daughter. Get up when you're knocked down. It's all about learning. I think John says sometimes you win, sometimes you learn, and I love that. And then you've never arrived. Always be resetting, looking at the horizon, what's next, what's out there, and how can you keep moving in that direction for those bigger goals. And I'd just like to remind you that if you want to know more about the five levels of leadership, you can go to our website at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. And we're always grateful that you join us on these broadcasts. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.